Well, good morning. It's great to see you here in Celebration Worship. I want to welcome all of you who are in Crosswalk and our friends down at Greenacre South. If you have your Bibles, open them with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 1, or access your digital device. We're going through the Gospel according to Mark, verse after verse, and today we're going to be talking about the perceptive art of a receptive heart. Pardon me while I need to do something real quick. Say, what are you doing, Pastor? Well, I'm planting seeds. I'm planting seeds from the Bible. Now, I've done my job. Now, whether or not those seeds produce fruit is up to you now. That's what Jesus is going to be talking about today. Let me introduce you to Bob and Jerry. Bob and Jerry have been going to Green Acres Baptist Church for a number of years. They've been Christians for over 20 years. Bob is seated somewhere out in Celebration Worship right now. And in the course of the pastor's message, Bob is really engaged. I mean, he is taking notes. He has his Bible open. He's not only just filling in the blanks, but he's also making some notes in the margins. And he's nodding when he hears something that really God is speaking to his heart. And every now and then he'll even whisper, amen. Two rows in front of Bob, there's Jerry. And Jerry is nodding his head also. But for a different reason. Bob is bored. I mean, he didn't bring a Bible. He's not filling out any notes. He's glancing at his watch over and over again and thinking, wow, it looked like it was this long when I looked at my watch a while ago. He's bored. He's counted the lights in the ceiling. He's counted how many people in the choir wearing glasses. He's just thinking, when will this be over? What's the difference between Bob and Jerry? Well, Jesus is going to address that in this passage. Over in Crosswalk, there's two high school girls, Jessica and Amanda. They're both going into their senior year. They grew up in Green Acres together. They were baptized at the same age. And Jessica is literally sitting on the edge of her seat. She's got her smartphone out and she's following the scripture. She's using her Bible app and she has accessed live streaming. And so she's following along with the outline as I'm talking. And she knows she's facing some big decisions in her senior year in high school. And so she's just literally praying as the pastor is talking, God, speak to my heart. Give me your wisdom. She's really into it. Two seats down, there's Amanda. She also has her smartphone out. But she doesn't have the Bible app going. Instead, she's texting her friend. She's checking Instagram posts, Vine, Pinterest. She knows that there's a guy up there on the screen talking, but for her, it's kind of like, wah, 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 wah. So what is the difference between Jessica and Amanda? Bob and Jerry, they're all hearing the same message, but it's a totally different result in their lives. Well, Jesus answers that right here in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. You're welcome to stand with me as we read this portion of God's Word. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowds that gathered around him was so large that he got out into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore of the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables and in his teaching said, now this is one of his most classic parables. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. He was scattering the seed as he was scattering it. Some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, and he says this many times in his ministry, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. And he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? Then he's going to give them a freebie. He's going to interpret it for them. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the world of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Let's pray together. Father, would you please reveal to each one of us today the condition of our hearts as it relates to receiving your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. May be seated. Well, Jesus loved to teach in parables. He loved to tell stories, and a story is worth 1,000 words. And so, because this was an agricultural culture, they had all seen farmers taking seed and not planting them in rows like we sometimes do, but broadcasting the seed, throwing it, flinging it. And of course, some of it fell on a pathway. Some of it fell on rocky ground. Some of it fell on ground where there were thorns, and some fell on good ground. And Jesus used that as an opportunity to talk about how different people receive the word of God. Now, I've got to admit that I've been studying this parable for decades, and I used to make a mistake in thinking that these were permanent categories, that here's a hard-hearted person and they're always hard-hearted. But I've come to understand that really at different times in my life and in perhaps in your life, we change the way we receive the word. In fact, one of my mentors, Ray Steadman, puts it this way, and I agree. I used to read the story as though these various soils were four different kinds of people who remained the same all through their lifetimes. But I have come to see that what our Lord is describing here is not four types of persons so much, but conditions of our heart at any given moment. Whenever the word is being taught, people are in one condition or another. We have all been callous at times. We've all been impulsive in our reaction, emotional and shallow. We've all been overly worried about other matters. And we've all had times of being open and responsive to the word. The question is, how are we receiving God's word at this moment? Now, this parable that Jesus told is actually going to be played out right here with you and me over the next 20 minutes or so. Because as I share the word of God, there are going to be some of you who are going to receive it, and there's going to be fruit in your life. And others, it's not going to make much difference to you. And both people will hear the same message. Can I just give you the sermon in a sentence? Go ahead and cut to the chase. The sermon in a sentence for this whole message is this. The spiritual impact of a Bible message isn't based upon what's being said as much as how the word is heard and received. So what is the condition of your heart today? Well, Jesus is basically saying there's two different ways that people can hear and receive the word of God. Let's just start there. Number one, there's the wrong way to receive God's word, the wrong way. In fact, he talked about people that may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. And Jesus compared these heart conditions to different kinds of soil. And if you've ever planted any seed or done any horticulture or agriculture, you understand the importance of how the ground must be prepared for the seed. And he mentions here three wrong ways to hear the word. Number one, he refers to a hard heart where the word is stolen. A hard heart where the word is stolen. Now, as the farmer cast his seed, there were some pathways that had been tramped down. And so when the seed hit that hard pathway, it didn't go under the ground. And so you had these flocks of birds who followed these farmers because they knew that they would be having lunch. And so they would swoop down and they would eat up the seed and it would be gone. But the interesting thing is that when Jesus is interpreting this parable, he says that's what happens with the word of God. And what did he say? He said, Satan comes in and steals the word of God away. So have you ever thought about it, that whenever the word of God is being taught, that Satan is actively trying to steal the word from your mind and from your heart? Well, how does he do that? By distractions. By making you think about something else. I mean, have you ever been sitting in a church service and you're really trying to pay attention to what the pastor is saying, and all of a sudden your mind just goes off until you know you're just way somewhere else, and you say, how in the world did I get over there? That's what the devil tries to do, distract you. Sometimes in a worship service, a baby will start screaming. Nah, the devil didn't make that baby scream, but if it distracts you and you sort of thinking, well, that baby, why somebody, but quiet that baby up. Well, yeah, Satan has accomplished what he wants you to do. He distracted you. Sometimes somebody will get up and walk out and go to the bathroom. And I don't think the devil made them get up and go to the bathroom. But if he caused you to watch them all the way and he made you think, what are they doing? You know, can't they wait till the service is over? All of those are the ways that the devil will try to steal the word from you. And so as the word is being sown in your heart, just know that there is an enemy that's trying to steal it away before it can take root. There's another kind of heart. Number two, a shallow heart where the word is starved. And Jesus talked about these kind of people who receive the word with joy. Now this seed gets planted. And he says they receive it with joy. In other words, they get all happy and excited about, oh yeah, this is going to make a difference in my life. These are sort of what I call an emotional hearer. You know, they get so happy. Yes, praise God, this is going to change my life forever. But then when trouble comes, Jesus said when the sun starts beating down, he says when trouble comes, guess what? There's no root. It's rocky soil. And so they fall away. Have you ever known people like that, that for them, their faith is an emotional thing? And they come to church because they want to get happy. And if they can just keep that happy level up from Sunday to Sunday, they're okay. But sometimes when trouble comes on Tuesday and Wednesday, guess what? Their happy level is down and so is their faith. That's the danger in depending on your emotions. Listen, we don't live by sight or feelings. We live by faith. I call these Christians Alka-Seltzer Christians. you know what happens when you put a couple of tablets of Alka-Seltzer in the water? You know what? There's a lot of excitement for a while, but then pretty soon it just settles down and there's nothing there. And so this represents a person who is shallow-hearted and they have a lot of joy to begin with, but when trouble comes, they fade away. Here's the third kind of heart that Jesus was talking about. And I think this probably covers more conditions of Christians today than the first two combined. A crowded heart where the word is strangled. Because honestly, I don't think there are a lot of people here listening to me today in Crosswalk or Celebration or Green Acres. I don't think there's too many of you who are so hard-hearted that the word is just going in one ear and out the other. Or I don't think there's too many of you that have such shallow hearts that the word's really not making a difference. But I think there are many of you, listen, many of you who say, Pastor, I love the word of God. I love God. I love to study the word. I love to read the word. I love to hear the word taught. And yes, this truth makes a difference in my life and I receive it and I want it to be planted in my life. And it does get planted in your life. But you know what? You have so many other things in your life also. So many activities, so many organizations, so many demands that it's like a thorn vine that just grows and chokes out. And before you know it, Jesus said the word is strangled. Because you know there's only a limited amount of moisture and nutrients in the soil. And if you're trying to grow a whole lot of things, the word may be the one that fades away. And if you look again, Jesus says these, look at verse 19. He tells us what these thorns are that squeeze out or choke the word of God. Verse 19, he says, the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke out the word. That's what destroys the effectiveness and the fruitfulness of God's word in your life. Worry. You know, I've said many times before, I think worry is the number one most popular sin among Christians. It's not lying. It's not cheating. It's not stealing. Worry is a sin. And worry will choke out the fruitfulness of God's word. You know, when you worry, what you're basically saying is, God, you are a liar. You can't be trusted, God, because you've told me that you would take care of me, that ultimately everything is going to be okay. But God, I don't believe it, and so I'm going to worry about this, okay? By the way, our English word worry comes from the German word "wurgen," that means to strangle. And that's what worry does. It'll strangle you. And then Jesus mentioned another thorn. And he didn't say riches. He said the deceitfulness of riches. Nothing wrong with wealth. Nothing wrong with money. But money tells a lie. Have you discovered what the lie of money is? Here it is. Money creeps up to you and whispers in your ear and says this: hey, if you get enough of me, you will be happy. That's the lie. Wealth says, hey, you accumulate enough of me and you will be totally, absolutely satisfied. Because that's a lie. Because we all know people who have lots and lots of money and they have lots and lots of misery. Amen? That's the lie of money. The Bible never says money is the root of all evil. It says that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. You know, a few years ago, there was a book published called The Day America Told the Truth, in which thousands of Americans were asked this question: what would you be willing to do for $10 million tax-free? Anonymous survey. And did you know that one-third of Americans said that for $10 million, they would be willing to abandon their family and friends? They'd be willing to turn and walk away from their family, walk away from their friends for $10 million. That, my friend, is the deceitfulness of riches. So that's the wrong way to hear the word of God. And so anytime Jesus taught, he would always say, this is the way you don't do it, before he told you this is the way you do it. And so let's go on to number two and talk about the right way to receive God's word. Hearing God's word is more like an art than a science. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I imagine when Jesus spoke those words, I'm just going to imagine that everybody there had these little things on the side of their head called ears. And I can imagine that just about everybody had the ability to hear. There might have been a deaf or two person that people there, you know, hard of hearing. But the people to whom he was speaking, all of them had ears. All of them could hear. And then what's he talking about? He's saying, you know what? There's a level of hearing. And then there's a level of really hearing. And this is what he is talking about. And so why do you think many times throughout his teaching, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That means all of a sudden you need to stick up your antenna and you need to pay close attention because he's about to say something profound. And then he goes on and talks about an open heart where the word is multiplied. Now, before we leave the little categories here, how many categories of heart conditions or soil conditions did Jesus give? If you say four, think again. He gave two. He gave two conditions of heart or soil conditions: bad soil and productive soil. For the bad soil, he gave three examples: hard soil, shallow soil, thorny soil. And the only other broad category was good soil. The open heart that received the word. But you know, he also gave three examples of that. What were they? Oh, he said there was good soil that produced, and here are the three examples, 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Now, maybe you missed that. Maybe you just thought that was just something that he just said because it was just a figure of speech. If you knew anything about agriculture and Jewish culture, a 30-fold harvest was a very poor harvest. Poor harvest. You could hardly pay for your seeds if you only had a 30-fold harvest. A 60-fold harvest, that's a good harvest. You could make it. But a 100-fold harvest, that is a miraculous harvest. That is a bumper crop. And so Jesus was saying even people who have open hearts have received the word, some of them are only, you know, mildly fruitful. Others are moderately fruitful. But he challenges all of us to have that 100-fold, that miraculously fruitful reception of his word. I know a lot of you in this room have planted gardens before. You've planted flowers. You know a lot about taking a seed or taking a plant and putting it in the ground. But did you know that it is very rare on the planet of the earth, on planet Earth, for there to be naturally fertile soil? Now, there are some places around rivers, river deltas, some soil that has volcanic ash. Those are sort of naturally fertile. But most of the dirt on the planet is not naturally fertile. It has to be prepared. It has to be fertilized. The rocks have to be removed from the field. The trees have to be cut down and rooted out. And what I'm trying to say is most of our hearts are not naturally receptive to God's word. They have to be prepared. You do not become a receptive hearer of God's words accidentally. You do it intentionally. And so let me just talk to you for a few moments about how to develop a receptive heart. Number one, hear God's word attentively. Hear God's word attentively. Pay attention when God is speaking. Pay attention when you're reading the Bible. Pay attention when someone is sharing a teaching about the Bible. Do you know the difference between passive listening and active listening? A lot of times you'll go home and you'll turn on the television. You're not paying any attention to it, are you? You're just having some noise back there. You know that noise is there and you are listening, but you're not listening attentively. You're listening passively. And there are some people that's how they hear the word of God. I mean, as I've been teaching for the last few moments, there are some people that have just kind of been listening passively. Their mind has been somewhere else. And they've caught a little bit of what I've said, but they're just not really into it. And I'm talking about them right now, and they don't even know I'm talking about them right now. Why? Because they're listening passively. But there are other people that they get it. They're tuned in. They're saying, "Speak to me, Holy Spirit. I'm going to listen actively." You know, as a pastor, I've often been in a hospital room when a doctor will come in to give a report of a test, or the doctor will come in to discharge the patient. And I've noticed something that happens every time. When that physician comes into that room and has some news to give, that family practices active listening. I mean, they're going to usually take something and write it down. Now, tell us again, doctor, what do we need to do? Take this medicine. They're going to write it down. They're going to pay very close attention about what the doctor says about the results of the test and what they're supposed to do when they go home. You know why? Because that's important information. And that's the way we ought to actively listen to the word of God. And Dr. Jesus has given you some instructions, but you might not recognize it because he's just using a plain old orderly like me to tell you that. And that's why I think that it's important for you to write down what you hear, because studies have shown that you retain about 10% of what you hear, but you retain up to 40% of what you write down. So that involves active, aggressive, attentive listening. Here's the second way to develop a receptive heart. Memorize God's word consistently. I mean, the best way to have God's word in your heart and in your mind is to memorize it. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's been my joy through the years to memorize Scripture, memorize Scripture, memorize Scripture. I used to use these little cards, you know, the little flashcards. I use hundreds of those. But also, I like to memorize Scripture by just writing down Scripture over and over again. If you just write the same verse down over and over again on a legal pad, you'll find that you're going to memorize that verse the more you write it down. I think Albert Einstein was right when he said a short pencil is better than a long memory. So just write it down. You know, it's important to meditate on the Word of God, and it talks about the righteous man in Psalms chapter 1. It says, and his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. You can't meditate on the Word of God unless you have memorized the Word of God. And so when you memorize the Word of God, you have a receptive heart because you've hidden his Word in your heart. Here's the third thing. Obey God's Word immediately. Obey God's Word immediately. You know what the main difference between these four different soil types, the hard heart, the shallow heart, the crowded heart, and the open heart, is that the open heart hears and obeys. Now, how many times have you been guilty of being a hearer of the Word, but not a doer of the Word? In the book of James, we read these words. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now, I got to tell you, I understood the first half of that verse for years, but I never really quite got at what it meant about looking in a mirror, that whole thing. Until just a few months ago, this happened to me. I was in a hurry getting ready one morning, and so I had shaved at my house, and as I was, you know, getting dressed and everything, I just glanced in the mirror and saw that I had a whole big glob of shaving cream left in front of my right ear. But then my phone rang, and I got so busy, I was running a little late, and so I saw it in there, and I said, you know what, I need to wipe that off, but then I just forgot about it, and I came up here at church, and I was meeting with several people over a period of several hours, and I wondered why they kept breaking eye contact with me and glancing up at my ear. And finally, one of our staff members was kind enough to say, hey, David, I think you got some shaving cream on your ear. And then I wiped it off. You know what? The lesson I learned from that is when you look into the Word of God, and the Word of God says there's something in your life that shouldn't be there, you better get rid of it. Do it immediately. Don't wait or you'll forget about it. And so obey God's word. But the final thing I want to say about how to develop a receptive heart is to spread God's word continually. Spread his word continually. Now the point of this parable, let me just say, the point of this parable is when you and I stop seeing ourselves as the soil and we start seeing ourselves as the farmer. Can I say that again? We stop seeing ourselves as the soil, and we start seeing ourselves as the farmer, because how do you multiply the Word of God? You share it. You share it. You spread it with others. That's how the Word of God is multiplied. So let's go back to Bob and Jerry. Let's go back to Jessica and Amanda. What's the difference in those people? Well, Bob and Jessica came and they had a desire to hear the Word of God. They had an appetite for the Word. Have you ever noticed that when you go to a fine dining restaurant, that the server may say something in French called bon appétit, bon appétit. Do you know what that means? It means good appetite. I mean, why don't they say, this is good food? Why don't they say, enjoy your meal? They say, we hope you have a good appetite. That's what they're saying. Because they know that if you have a good appetite, you will enjoy the food. But I want to tell you, you can sit down in front of a five-course meal, and if you've just gorged yourself with 12 Krispy Kreme donuts, you will not have a bon appetit. Because you're stuffed with junk food. I want you to apply that spiritually. When you are opening the Word of God, when you are hearing the Word of God, do you have a bon appetit? you have an appetite for the Word of God. Bob had an appetite for the Word of God. Jerry, full of junk food. Jessica, she had a bon appetit for the Word of God. Amanda, sorry, Amanda, you can close your phone now. She was full of junk food. There is great, great power in spreading the Word of God. True story. In Africa, there is a pastor, Gaylord Kambarami. He's also the general secretary of the Bible Society in Zimbabwe. And a number of years ago, he was passing out New Testaments, little pocket New Testaments. And he gave one to a very belligerent man who said, "I don't believe the Bible. And if you give me that Bible, all I will do is tear out the pieces of the paper and I will roll it up to make cigarettes and I will smoke your Bible page by page." And Dr. Kambarami said, "That's okay, but just promise me this, you'll read the page before you smoke it." Years later, at a conference, there was an African evangelist who was speaking and he recognized Dr. Kambarami. And here's what that African evangelist said. "He gave me a Bible and he said, I smoked Matthew, I smoked Mark, and then I smoked Luke. But when I got to John 3:16, I couldn't smoke anymore. My life was changed from that moment." He became an evangelist serving Jesus Christ. That's the power of the Word of God. I've been doing it today and I hope you've received it. And if you have, I hope you'll go out and start spreading it as well. Father, thank you for your word that is so powerful, like precious seed. And Father, I pray that you will give us receptive hearts so that we can get to the place when we become the farmer sowing the seed. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.